We're going to look at the pillar and ground of truth. We've been going through this for quite some time. We've been dealing with this, as I said, seven different elements. I'll take a minute just to go into these. Seven different elements that bring unity to the body of Christ. The Bible says there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now we're going to look at today one baptism. We've gone through the others. We're going to look at this today, as Dave already mentioned, is in the bulletin. Next week we're going to have a water baptismal service. And we're going to just look at some things today about the importance of baptism and what it means. And the Bible talked about there's one baptism. And we're going to talk about the definition of baptism, the reality of baptism, the symbolisms of baptism, the requirements of baptism. And first of all, the definition of baptism. Now, I'm just going to go through this a little quickly. Brother Al read Matthew chapter 3, talking about John the Baptist's ministry. And John the Baptist baptized people in the Jordan River, as you know. And Jesus came to be baptized by John. I'm just going to give you this, because some people say, well, baptism, you know, is just something that John came up with. No, it's not what John came up with. They were having baptisms long before John came on the scene. John the Baptist went out and he was baptizing people. And even Jesus himself was baptized. So this is why I put this up there. Then in John chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Jesus began to baptize more people than John was baptizing. And John's disciples got a little bit nervous about that. And they came to John and they said, listen, they said, Jesus is baptizing more people than we're baptizing. And John said, that's okay. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. And so anyway, the Bible says that Jesus baptized more, even though Jesus himself didn't do the baptizing, but his followers did. Then in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we have the Great Commission. Jesus tells us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone. And he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then on the day of Pentecost, the new believers were baptized. And I just went through that a bit quickly, just to give you an idea that baptism was... John was doing it. It happened before John. John was doing it. Jesus was baptized. And Jesus baptized his followers. And then he told us to go into all the world. And one of the parts of going into all the world was baptize the people. And then as the disciples took up after Jesus had gone back into heaven, they were still baptizing. That's why I went down through all those different points there, just to give you an idea of what that is. Now, the word baptism, let's just ask God's direction as we look into this, first of all, before we go any farther, and get the Holy Spirit to minister as we do this. Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for the blessings of coming into your presence. Lord, as we look into the word now, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. Help us, Lord, to see things in this, Lord, that we can put into practice in our lives. Father, we give you the praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word baptize. When they're translating the scriptures from the Hebrew and Greek, when they're translating, especially the New Testament, from the Greek into the English, they were trying to get a word to bring up that would explain what baptism is and what it means and everything, and they couldn't find it in one word. So they decided to leave it in the Greek word itself. We call it baptism in the English, but it's baptizo in the Greek. And if you look up Strong's Concordance, and I've told you this before, Strong was a Hebrew-Greek theologian or scholar, and he took every word of the Bible and put a number by it so we could look up the meaning after that word. And if you look up Greek, this is what the G stands for in front there. The Greek word is number 907 in Strong's, and you can see the pronunciations of it there. Anyway, it means to be whelmed or to overwhelm, used only in the New Testament of ceremonial ablution, especially after the ordinance of Christian baptism. It's translated Baptist, baptize, and wash. Then there's another fellow, Thayer, and he describes the word this way. It means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge, as when a vessel is sunk, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, to bathe, and to overwhelm. These are all different translations, different words that are used to describe what baptism means. I told you before, years ago, I had a lady call, and she wanted to have her children baptized. And now, I don't want to get into a whole lot of debate on this, but I believe that to be baptized, you have to understand what's going on. All through Scripture, he told them, first of all, repent and be baptized. If you believe, you can be baptized. Children don't understand that. And I know I was baptized as a baby, and maybe many of you were. She said, want to get the babies, children baptized? And I said, how old are they? And I believe the oldest was 7, and the youngest was a year or something like that. And I said, well, why do you want to get them baptized? And she said, well, I want to get them to heaven. And that's a misunderstanding of what baptism is all about. And so I tried to explain to her, you know, what baptism is about. We'll touch on this in a minute. And I said, one other thing you should realize is that I said, we baptize, I said, by submersion. And she stopped for a while and she said, what'd that mean? And I said, we put them under the water and bring them back up again. She said, you put them right under the water. I said, yes. She said, I'll get back to you. I never heard from her since. So anyway, baptism, the word baptized means to go under, submerge. You know what a submarine does? It goes under the water. That's what the word baptized means. It means to submerge. Now, and I know there's different people that sprinkle or pour and different things, and I'm not criticizing that this morning. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. But anyway, let's move on. And these are some of the words, again, that the word baptize means. I just took it from those what we just read there. This is what the word is translated to English, is all these different thoughts right here. New Testament examples of baptism. Now, this is not all of them, obviously, but these are just some. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, the Bible says, Peter said to him, because Peter got up and he said, this Jesus that you took and crucified, God has raised up again. The Bible says they were cut to their hearts. And he said, what do we have to do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then the Bible tells 3,000 people were added to the church and were baptized that day. The Samaritans in Acts chapter 12, or Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans were half-breed Jews, half-breed Gentiles. I've gone through this before. And they start getting saved. Philip went down there. Philip was a deacon. He went down to Samaria, and he started to preach Jesus, you know, about salvation, different things. And the Bible says those that received the word were baptized. So in Acts chapter 12, we see the Samaritans being baptized. In Acts chapter 8, rather, again, that was 8, in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 to 38, we see the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, he was down to Jerusalem worshiping, and he was returning to Bible says, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And he didn't understand what he was reading. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit told Philip to go down to the desert. And when Philip got there, he saw the chariot going by, and the Holy Spirit said to him, he said, Philip, he said, go and join yourself to the chariot. So he went up, and he said to the man that was reading, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian looked out to, you know, and he said, no, he said, I don't. He said, is a man talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else? What's he talking about? And the Bible says, Philip got up into the chariot and sat down with him and explained to him what the scripture meant. And he preached to him Jesus. And as they were going along, Philip obviously must have told him about water baptism, because as they were going along, they saw a pool of water. And the man said to Philip, he said, listen, he said, there's water there. He said, what stops me from being baptized? And the Bible says they went down into the water and they were baptized. Philip baptized him. Cornelius and his household. Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter went down there. You know, remember when Peter saw the sheet coming down from heaven with different animals and everything on it? God was explaining to him that the Gentile people now were cleansed and that he could go and fellowship with them and different things, and God accepted them. And Cornelius and his household were saved and baptized in Acts chapter 7 or chapter 10. Then Lydia and her household in Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16. And John the Baptist, disciples. Now, this is in Acts chapter 19. Paul went to Ephesus, and the Bible says he met some men there, some people that were John's disciples. They you know, came to believe in God and confessed their sins under John's ministry, John the Baptist. And Paul said to them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we never even knew there was a Holy Ghost. And Paul said, what do you mean? You know, you're supposed to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You should have. He said, how were you baptized? And they said, by John's baptism. And then Paul went on to explain to him about Jesus and what Jesus did for him. And the Bible says they were baptized. So we see all these different things. And as I said, these are not all the different ones, but these are just some in the scriptures there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, it says that we have one Lord, one faith. We talked about those in the past couple of weeks. One baptism. Now, what is that one baptism that he's talking about? You know as well as I do, or at least you should know, there's more than one baptism mentioned in Scripture. But yet for all, he said, there's one baptism. What he's trying to say here is trying to help us to understand. There's one baptism that we're all taking part in. We're all involved in. What is that one baptism? Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 tells us there is more than one baptism. And here's the scripture. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of the doctrine of baptisms, plural. So there's more than one baptism, but there's only one that's important. Okay, this is what he's saying. There's one that we all have to take part in. But he said there's a doctrine of baptisms, plural. And then he goes on to talk about some other doctrines. The Jews, if you go back to the Old Testament, you find this. We don't have time to get into all the scriptures, obviously. But the Jews had various washings. They would have a laver there, a basin. Every time the priest was going to do something, he'd wash his hands. Sometimes they would wash their feet as they were going into God's presence, signifying, you know, purity and things like this. Obviously, the water never washed away sin, but it just was a symbolic thing of the purity of as they're coming into God's presence. So you see a lot of these things under the Jewish, in the Old Testament. The proselytes, now these are Gentiles like us that weren't Jews. If we wanted to follow the Jewish God and follow and worship him, we would become proselytes into the Jewish religion. And one of the things that they always got the Gentiles to do is when they accepted the Jewish God and gave up their gods, you know, the pagan gods and all these different things, they would baptize them to signify that their old life was over and now they're going into a new life. That's what baptism was about. And so the proselytes were baptized. John the Baptist came baptizing in water. So there's water baptism. Then there's the Bible talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is another baptism. And then there's a baptism into Christ, which is another baptism. So which one of these baptisms is he talking about? We're going to touch on just a couple of these different things. Now these three right here in the bottom, you can see right here, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and baptism into Christ. These are the ones that's in the new covenant. And we're going to look at and we'll see which one he was talking about out of these three. Is it baptism in water that he's talking about? When he said there is one baptism, is he talking about water baptism or is he talking about something else? Let's look at this. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit and there's baptism into Christ. Is it water baptism? Now, water baptism is something that we do after we're saved, after salvation. Water baptism is not something that takes place automatically. It's something that we do and I'm sure you've all seen it, and whether it's done in a church building or out in a river or whatever the case might be, people are baptized. There's a preacher, you know, usually that baptized them. Excuse me. This happens after baptism. Now, there's a lot of people that have never been baptized, so you can't really be talking about water baptism because this is not the one baptism that unites us all. People can be saved without being baptized in water. Baptism in water is an ordinance. There's two ordinances that Jesus lived for the church. Water baptism, and we call it the Lord's Supper or Communion. Some churches call it the Eucharist or whatever the case might be. But there's two ordinances that Jesus lived for the church. Water baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, if water baptism was a thing that united us, and this is one of the ordinances of the church, why is it that he never mentioned communion in that list of seven different things as a thing that unites us? You understand where I'm coming from? If you use one ordinance as a uniting thing, why not use the other ordinance as well? Because these are obviously uniting things. But anyway, we're just going to go on. We don't have time to get into a whole lot of it there. But the differences in water baptism modes sometimes divide us instead of uniting us. Dave mentioned, it actually was in Africa. We had a man in Newfoundland that came to our church from Africa. He was a doctor. And we were having a water baptism out by the lake. And we put posters around, and I probably told you this before. We put posters around, and he saw a picture of Jesus being baptized, you know, in the poster. A picture of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. So he called me. He said, which way do you believe in water baptism? And I told him what we believe and different things. And so anyhow, he came down to the river there as we were having the baptism. And after the thing, he came back to the church the following Sunday. He said, you do it a little different than we do. in Africa. And I said, oh, I said, how do you do it? Now, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and bring them back up again. He said, we baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They went down three times. And the mode has got nothing to do with it. The formula has got nothing to do with it. It's what it represents is what's important. So anyway, water baptism, there's people that start denominations over water baptism. You know, there's some that believe baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Unitarians believe you baptize in the name of Jesus. You get some to sprinkle, some to pour, some to dip three times, some to dip once. I mean, there's different modes, there's different ways, there's different formulas and everything else. So we got all these different things going on. So water baptism is not really the thing that unites us. A lot of times it divided us. Is it the baptism in the Holy Spirit that he's talking about? Because there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit the Bible talks about. Now, again, this one happens after salvation. You don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit before you're saved. This happens after salvation. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift to those who hunger and thirst for it. If you don't hunger and thirst for it, you're not going to receive it. So we can't be talking about that baptism of the Holy Spirit as the one baptism that unites us. Okay, now let's move on. Those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues and prophesied, the Bible tells us. Acts chapter 10, what we had there, the Bible says, well, you know, the day of Pentecost, they all spoke in tongues. Some people said, well, that's over with, and that's done with. No, listen, Peter went down to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. He belonged to he was a Roman centurion. And Peter went down and preached to him, and the Bible says, as Peter was speaking to him, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. How did Peter know that? Because they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Peter said, just like it happened to us in the beginning. So when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, not everyone speaks in tongues and prophesies. So that can't be the baptism that he's talking about that unites us. Not all believers have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, Paul went up to Ephesus. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? Now, these were believers, but they had not received the Holy Spirit at that time. You know, so again, we see again that those believers were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, so he can't be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So is it the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No, he's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit either. Now let's move on. This is the one that he's going to be talking about right here. Is it the baptism into Christ? There is a baptism into the body of Christ, which is the church. Now I'm not talking about a local assembly. I'm not talking about a denomination or anything. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world. Doesn't matter what denomination. There's dozens and probably thousands of denominations out there. But we're going to look at it. The baptism into Christ. This happens at the moment of salvation. The minute you give your life to Jesus, the minute that you ask God to forgive your sins and come into your heart, whichever term you want to use, the minute you get saved, you're baptized into the body of Christ. You become part of the church. You don't become a church when you come here. Matter of fact, somebody asked me about it this morning. I showed somebody. We have a little form, you know, filling for church membership. That's got nothing to do with you getting to heaven. Okay, that's just membership here on the earth, you know, like part of the fellowship and stuff like that. You can put your name on every church in Napanee today and be good members in every single one, but it's not going to get you into heaven. The only way that you're going to get into the body of Christ is through salvation. Okay, now, so the baptism into Christ, into the body, into the church, is a supernatural, spiritual thing that takes place. The moment you give your life to Jesus. Let's look at a scripture for this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, 28. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ. Notice that he said you're baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now water baptism doesn't do that. Okay, water baptism can't make you male or female or anything else. But in God's eyes, when you give your life to Jesus, he said, God sees you as one of his family. There's no such thing as, you know, gender and all these different things. God just sees us as one, part of his body. Another scripture, know ye not that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Some people say, well, that, you know, that could be water baptism. No, let's go on again. Notice what he says here. For by one spirit are you baptized into one body. So when you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, there is a baptism by the Holy Spirit, this one right here, where you're baptized into the body of Christ, and there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is one we read a bit earlier, where he spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, the baptism by the Holy Spirit, you're baptized into the body of Christ. The moment you give your life to Jesus, you become part of God's family. That's something that takes place. God does for you. Matter of fact, if you look down through all these different things that we talk about, the things that unite us, are all things that God does for us. The things that the Holy Spirit has done for us. So anyway, by one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. Whether we're Jews or Gentiles, we're bond or free, the same thing that you said a little earlier. There's no difference in these areas. So is it the baptism into Christ that unites us? Yes, this is the thing that unites the church worldwide, that the moment that we give our lives to Jesus, we become part of God's family. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Okay, that was the definition. Let's look at some of the symbolism of baptism. What does baptism really mean? Excuse me. I got a tickle there and there. The washings and pourings in the Old Covenant spoke of cleansing and purifying that was symbolized by water. As I already mentioned, the priest would wash his hands sometimes. Remember Pilate, when he was trying to, get rid of the guilt of having Jesus crucified. The Bible says Pilate washed his hands of the matter. That was a custom of that day. That was a way to purify yourself. Now, you know as well as I do, water couldn't purify the sin or anything else, but it was just symbolic, a symbolic act that you're purifying yourself from that situation. The priest would wash your feet sometimes when you go into God's temple. They wash their hands as they're going in to do different things. The proselytes, as I already said, were baptized when they left paganism and came into Judaism. They would be baptized. John the Baptist baptized those who repented of their sins. Jesus was baptized by John as our example. The New Testament gives us two examples from Israel's history that were types of water baptism. Two things that happened. Remember, the Bible tells us that the things that happened in the Old Testament were there for our examples. It gives us two different stories from the Old Testament that illustrate water baptism to us. Okay, now let's look at those. Number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, talks about Moses back in the Old Testament. Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. Remember that? Brought them out of Egypt, led them across the Red Sea, and the Bible says as Pharaoh's army was coming behind, there was a pillar of fire that stopped Pharaoh's army from getting close to the Israelites. And on the Israelite side, they would look back and see a cloud. So the Bible talks about the pillar of fire and cloud. Now, the story goes on to say, and you know the story, and I don't have to get into all the details, but as Moses came down to the water, and he stepped into the water, put the staff down, and the Bible says the water opened up like a wall on each side. Moses and children of Israel went across the dry land, went across to the other side, and the Bible says when Pharaoh and his army came in to try to follow them, the waters came back in and drowned them. Now, he said that water baptism, or that going through the cloud, well, let's read what it says there. Moreover, brethren, he said, I would not that you should be ignorant or not understand this, how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now notice this, and were all baptized unto Moses. Now they weren't baptized in Moses' name or anything like that, but they were in identified with Moses coming through the Red Sea. He said, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, so that's one illustration that he uses there. Water, in one sense, saved them. You understand that? Water, like after they crossed the Red Sea, there was no going back. See, this is what water baptism symbolizes. Once you go through the waters, you're symbolizing, I've made up my mind that, I've cut ties with the past, and I'm going forward to trust God. My old life is done, I'm finished with it, and this is a new life that I'm into. And this is what the children of Israel did when they crossed the Red Sea. They say when their planes going on the runway, and I love planes. For those that don't know me, I can't stand planes. I don't like flying. And every time I get on, they're you know, going down the runway, taxiing down the runway. It seems like, man, you ever going to get this thing off the ground? Like, we're going to run out of runway before you get there. That's what I feel like. And I'm half afraid to look at the window, afraid I'm going to see the other end, you know. And you're going down the runway, and it's lumpy, 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 pretty soon you lift off. But they say there's a point. They call it the point of no return. Once a plane goes past that point, if something goes wrong, you can't stop anywhere. You got to lift off. And I always think, man, you know, make sure you got enough room, you know. Get off so fast you can, so in case something do go wrong, you get back down. But anyway, I'm sure you'll come back down, but not the way you want to. So anyway, there's a point of no return. When you're baptized in water, when they crossed the Red Sea, that was the point of no return. There's no going back after this. There's absolutely no, you know, they made a new life now in trusting God. Then the second thing he talked about was a flood under Noah. Remember the story of Noah and the flood. Now, in Peter tells this story, or he explains this. He said, "For Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit." Excuse me for coughing, boys. "By which he also went and preached unto them that were in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few," that is, eight souls "were saved by water." He said, eight souls were saved by water. Now, you know, they weren't saved by water. The others were destroyed by water. They were saved by the ark. You understand that? But water was symbolic of being saved. It was symbolic of being delivered. And again, this is what water baptism stands for. He said, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." Now, again, water baptism is not going to save you. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about water is symbolic of the salvation that the children of Israel went through. Baptism does save us. Not the putting away after filth of the flesh, not getting rid of your sin, but as an answer of a good conscience towards God. So these two illustrations that he gives us. Romans chapter 6, verses 3-6, Paul explains the significance of baptism in the body of Christ, which is symbolized by water baptism. Now notice this, Paul said, "Know ye not that as many of you as were baptized into Christ," now remember when we talk about his baptism into Christ? He said, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death." Then he says, "Therefore," now what do you do when you see a therefore? Stop and see what it's there for. He's tying together what he said to what he's going to say. Okay, he said, "Therefore, because we were baptized into Christ," we're put into his body when we gave our lives to Jesus, when we came into the church, we're put into the body of Christ. He said, "Therefore," water baptism symbolizes that. He said, "Therefore, we are buried by him in baptism unto death." So he said, what took place in the spirit realm, we now reenact that in the natural realm. Therefore, he said, this happened in the spiritual realm. Therefore, in water baptism, he said, we're baptized unto his death. Now notice what he says here. We are buried, I'm just going to underline some of these words. We are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now notice these things that he's talking about there. For if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Now notice these things, and I'm just going to touch on these quickly. Five different stages of Christian baptism. Number one, there's crucifixion. When you make up your mind you're going to serve the Lord, you crucify your old man. That means you make up your mind that my old life is finished. I'm putting it to death. I'm not going to live that way anymore. That's what salvation is all about. It's crucifixion. He said, then there's death. You die to the old way of life. Then you're buried. When you baptize somebody, you bury them in the water. Then you rise them back up again. And then they walk in a new life. Just like when they crossed the Red Sea, they passed through the Red Sea. When they came out on the other side, there was a new life. When Noah and his family came out of the ark on the other side of the flood, it was a new life. When you come up out of the waters of baptism, you're saying to the world, listen, By God's help, this is a new life. Not saying you're never going to make another mistake. You'll always make mistakes until the day you go home to be with the Lord. But you made up your mind. You're going to do the best you absolutely can to trust God. You're going to have a new life after this. And this is what water baptism is about. It's like it's washing away the old sin. See, water baptism, well, let's go on. Three pictures of water baptism, Christian baptism. Three things that picture it. Number one is a funeral. How many of you like to go to your own funeral? That's what it is. When you're baptized in water, it's like a funeral. Paul said, we're baptized into his death. When you have a funeral, you don't bury them when they're still alive. You wait till they're dead. Right? And you bury them. And water baptism is a good symbol of this by immersion, because in one sense, you're going under the water. And like Dave said, we won't leave you too long. If you live you too long, you certainly are going to be dead. You know. But as a picture of death, you're dead, you're buried under the water. The old sin, the old way of life is gone. So it's a picture of a funeral. And when you trust the Lord in salvation, you die to your old way of life. You take on his life. So you're just burying the body that died, or the old life, I should say, that died. You know, it could have been a year ago, it could have been 6 months ago, it could have been 2 minutes ago. Whenever you gave your life to Jesus, you died to yourself. You bury that old life. That's what water baptism signifies. It's a funeral. Paul said, if we're planted with him, next week, those that are going to be baptized, we're going to plant you. Right? We're not going to leave you there. So it's a funeral. But it's also a birthday. We just sang happy birthday to Noah. It's a birthday because when you come up, there's a new life. Like you know, when you look at a baby that's just born, that baby has got no past. That's brand new. And that's what it's like when you come up into the waters of baptism. You're saying, you know, I mean, we know up here that there's a past. We know that you lived yesterday and you did some miserable things and all these different things. But spiritually speaking, you're saying, listen, I've made a cut with the old world. That past is gone. This is a brand new day for me. This is a new life. This is my new birthday that I'm trusting Jesus from here on in. And this is what water baptism signifies. It's like a birthday. Here's another thing that it signifies. It's like a wedding. It's like a wedding. You identify yourself with Christ. What Jesus did for you, literally, he went to the cross, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he had a new life after that. Water baptism does the very same thing. It symbolizes the very same thing. You're crucified, you die, you're buried, you rise, you walk in a new life. You identify yourself with Jesus. You associate with yourself with him, that's a point of identification, is a point of association, that you identify yourself with Jesus as my Savior. In a lot of the different cultures in the world, especially in some countries where they have different religions than Christianity, when a person becomes a Christian, they kick up a fuss. But if the person gets baptized, now this is true even in the Jewish religion and the Muslim religion, when a person leaves those religions and become a Christian, and if they go so far as being baptized, the family, now this is true, the family many times will have a funeral. They will go through a real funeral and say that person is dead. Sometimes they get more sense than the Christian got. He said, that person is dead. They're finished. We don't hold them anymore. We don't know nothing else about them. They're not part of our family anymore. Because that's a mark that identifies you with Jesus, that says, from now on, he's my master. He's my Lord. That's what water baptism is all about. You make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let's move on. The requirements of baptism. Number one is repentance. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, he didn't say water baptism is going to wash away your sins. And if you read the original Greek, what he's saying there, because you've repented of your sins and, you know, you've been forgiven, now you identify yourself with Jesus. This is what water baptism was all about. The Bible says that it can't wash away the filth of the flesh. Some people say, well, water baptism is necessary to salvation. No, it's not. The blood of Jesus is necessary for salvation. And that's the only thing that can wash away your sins. That's the only thing. Some people, you know, I was listening to somebody preach a while ago, and they mentioned something with water baptism, and they mentioned some other group that believed that, you know, what they call baptismal regeneration. That means you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. If that's the case, there's going to be a lot of people that's not going to make it. But listen, the blood of Jesus is sufficient. It's not the blood plus water. It's not the blood plus something else. It's not the blood, you know, plus anything that you can do yourself, because then it would be works. It's totally by grace alone, by faith alone, trusting in what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Water baptism is identifying yourself with him and signifying to the world, I've made a cut with the world, and now I'm going to trust Jesus as my Savior. And you got to believe. This is why we don't baptize infants. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not knocking you if you were baptized as an infant. I was baptized as an infant. I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying biblical water baptism is for people that know what they're doing. In the Scripture, you find it everywhere. Every person that was baptized in water in the Scripture, you can't find infant baptism anywhere in the world, in the Scriptures. There's only two places that are mentioned that people use. Cornelius and his household were baptized. And they said, well, his household probably has some babies in there. That's only speculation. That's not saying for sure. The Philippian jailer and his household, and they say the same thing. Well, maybe there's some babies during that family. We don't know that. It's only speculation. But the Bible tells us, the Ethiopian eunuch, and I'll finish up with this. When he was going along in the chariot, and he saw some water, and the Bible says he went down into the water, so he wasn't sprinkled. He went down into the water. When he went down into when he saw the water, he said to Philip, he said, there's some water. He said, what stops me from being baptized? And the Bible says that Philip said to him, he said, if you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. And that's one of the requirements, is repentance and believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he's your Savior, he's your Master, he's your Lord, and you've trusted him for your salvation. If you believe that with all your heart, he said, then you can be baptized. You can be baptized until you turn pink or white or whatever other color. You can be baptized or you shrivel up. It's not going to wash away one sin. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that baptism in the New Testament is almost like circumcision under the Old Covenant. And he says circumcision, unless you're circumcised in your heart, circumcision meant nothing. It's the very same thing. Water baptism means nothing. People say, well, I got to get baptized in water. You know, I've seen people, and you've seen them as well. You know, they just got to be baptized in water because I want to make sure I'm going to get into heaven. That's not going to get you into heaven. So only one thing is going to get you into heaven. That's the blood of Jesus. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're brought into his family. You're baptized into his family by the Holy Spirit. That's the one baptism that he's talking about. But water baptism signifies that. This is why we practice water baptism, because the Word of God tells us to do it. And next week we're going to have a water baptism. And for those that, if you've never been baptized before, and you want to be, tomorrow night we're having a meeting, 7 o'clock here at the church, so just come along. We're just going to sit down and talk about it, and you can ask questions. We'll try to get some answers for you on different things. And if you've been baptized probably as a baby, but you never understood what happened, or maybe baptized in your adult life you never understood, or baptized as a teenager, never understood what it was all about, but now you're starting to understand a bit more, and you say, listen, I want to make that new commitment to God. We're going to invite you to be baptized again. Not saying you have to. It's entirely up to yourself. We're not forcing anybody. But if you want to, tomorrow night we're going to meet here at 7 o'clock and just discuss this. And next Sunday we'll be having a water baptismal service here at the church. Matter of fact, after we have the water baptismal service, Pastor Ivan's church, Wesleyan Standard Church, is going to come up and use our tank. They got two or three people who want to be baptized as well. So they're going to use the tank as well. But if you're here and you want to be baptized in water, you know, I say, well, you know, I'd like to know some more about it. Maybe it's still not clear to you. Come along tomorrow night. We'll sit down and talk about it and ask all kinds of questions. No question is too simple. No question is too foolish. Listen, if you don't understand it, you don't understand it. So let's try to help each other to understand what God's Word says. So anyway, keep that in mind, and we'll be having it tomorrow night, the meeting, and then next Sunday after the morning service, we'll be having the water baptism service at the end of the service. Here's a conclusion. Every believer is baptized into the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. That's the one baptism he's talking about. Water baptism is an outward expression of what happened in the spiritual realm. Water baptism, we are signifying that we have died to our old life, and now we are raised to live a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. That's what happens in water baptism. You're signifying that the old life is finished. From now on, to the best of my ability, with God's help, I'm going to live for him. I'm done with the past. That's what water baptism. That's why you bury it symbolically. You bury the old life. When you rise up, you're brand new. That's what water baptism signifies. From now on, I made up my mind. I'm going to serve God. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. Well, I was lost when you found me here. And I was broken beyond repair. And then you came along. A promise to